Your County, bringing you the latest from North Yorkshire County Council on DAB every Sunday afternoon from 1 and listen again at strayfm.com. For more information, visit northyorks.gov.uk.
Welcome to this week's Your County on Stray FM. I'm Patrick Dunlop, and coming up on the show, we'll hear about the campaign encouraging businesses to join the fight against child sexual exploitation, also how bikers can stay safe on North Yorkshire's roads, and changes to household waste recycling centres.
Your County with North Yorkshire County Council.
First this week, North Yorkshire's businesses are being asked to help tackle child sexual exploitation. It's part of a campaign called Say Something If You See Something. Dallas Frank is manager of the Safeguarding Children Board.
On the 17th, we had a conference looking at CSE in the context of other vulnerabilities, so vulnerable, exploited, missing, trafficked young people. And that conference had 220 plus delegates, all looking at kind of the current issues around, as I say, trafficking as well as CSE. And there was a multi-agency audience, so delegates from health, from education, from the voluntary sector, from police, from the local authority, and you know, a number of organisations. What we also did at the same time is locally, we invited businesses to be a part of a further campaign to raise awareness. You'll be aware, I imagine, of the national campaign, which is the Say Something If You See Something campaign, which was put together a year ago by the National Working Group, in which the North Yorkshire Safeguarding Board have been supporting for a year. And as part of that kind of National CSE Day, we've relaunched that locally. And Safeguarding Board partners have visited more than 39 businesses in the Craven area to talk to them about CSE and about how they can help in the fight against CSE, what the indicators are, what to do with that information. And clearly, if they're worried about a child, then they make a referral in the same way, or they, you know, contact the police or the local authority in the same way that you would expect. But if there are other kind of more low-level concerns, what we're encouraging businesses to do is to give that information to the National Working Group so that we can understand some of the things that go on locally. We also have, as part of the Safeguarding Board, some vulnerable, exploited, missing and trafficked local groups where we discuss some of the local intelligence around CSE and other vulnerabilities.
I know the message from the Harrogate Community Safety Group, just one organisation, was very much don't put the blinkers on and pretend that these things aren't happening in places like Harrogate, because they are, aren't they?
Absolutely. I think that there isn't anywhere in the country that there aren't issues and young, vulnerable young people who have the potential to be exploited. I think that's certainly the case. I think one of the national difficulties is we don't know what we don't know. What we do know is that where we know that children are vulnerable or exploited within North Yorkshire, the service that they receive from the local authority and child protection services or child in need, the multi-agency response to that is very good, and we know that. What we need to find out and what we need to do more work around is being able to prevent, being able to deter, being able to work as a group of multi-agency organisations in the community to raise awareness from local businesses around some of the indicators, as we said before, making sure that they understand how to give us that intelligence, and that we then use that intelligence to develop our strategy as we move forward.
So lots of businesses already on board with this, but I suppose the more the better.
Of course, absolutely. And if anybody, as a result of kind of this programme, is interested in that, www.safeguardingchildren.co.uk, and we have information on our website with regard to the work that we're doing around child sexual exploitation, missing young people, trafficked young people. It's all on there. But also my details are there, and I'm very, very happy to speak to anybody from any businesses that have, or any other organisations that have any concerns, and to help them to find a way to move that forward. Or if people require training, we have online training, which is free training. Anybody can access that. Don't have to be from a business. That can be a parent, potentially, if they're interested in looking at that. We also have classroom training, again, which is free and available to book via our website. There are other resources on there as well in terms of the National Working Group and resources that businesses can use, so posters, the things that you hang on your door that say do not disturb, they've also got information around, you know, if you're concerned about people booking rooms and it seems uncomfortable, you're uncomfortable with it, then you just need to say something. What we know is that often lots and lots of organisations, lots and lots of different individuals may have a very small piece of the jigsaw, and to them that may seem very insignificant, but actually if we're able to get all those pieces together, then the pattern or the picture that might emerge from that could be very significant, and can assist our colleagues in the police and in other organisations to pursue and to deter and to disrupt exploitation of young people in our area.
York County. For more information, visit northyorks.gov.uk.
I can understand why people might be apprehensive about fostering, but when they first come to your home and they're so frightened, you realise that they just need someone to look after them.
We've been fostering for almost 30 years. It's enormously satisfying to see youngsters move on and forward. It's so rewarding to see them blossom into young adults.
People think of teenagers as being so challenging. They try to look and act much older than they are, but they're still a child underneath. It's giving them the time and chance to be themselves. That's what makes the difference. And I always feel so held by the fostering team and find it an absolute privilege and delight to be working alongside such outstanding people.
At Fostering North Yorkshire, we need people to offer vulnerable children a safe and stable home. We're particularly keen to hear from people who could care for a teenager or offer regular short-term care to a disabled child. Could you choose fostering and change a life? To book a place at an information event, see northyorks.gov.uk/fostering or ring 01609 534 654.
Your County is brought to you by North Yorkshire County Council, keeping you up to date with the latest from across North Yorkshire.
The County Council and police have joined forces to help bikers stay safe. They've organised various events to highlight how everyone should ride within their limits. Here's Road Safety Officer Fiona Ansell.
Well, obviously, we're just getting to the time of year when everyone's getting back out on their bikes, and I think most people who ride motorbikes in North Yorkshire are on leisure journeys, you know, because certainly it's weekends when we seem to find most people out. And yes, we seem to be having a bit of an annual conversation, don't we? It's the beginning of the season, people are going to be rusty, so, you know, we're putting our annual reminders out, you know, to have a bit of care, you know, take it steady, and to remind people that, you know, consistently over the last 10 years, 70% of bikers that are dying and getting seriously injured are crashing as a result of mistakes. Now, I know bikers sometimes think that you know, we're picking on them unfairly. I think the point is with this is that, you know, motorcyclists and cyclists, if they make a mistake and have a crash, it can cost them their life, whereas car drivers quite often walk away. So, you know, we want to tell people that information, and then ultimately they can make an informed choice, you know, get some further training, you know, modify their behaviour, improve their skills, hopefully, and save a few casualties.
Now, as we've talked about before, you're a biker yourself, so Yeah. You understand why people want to get out and go on certain routes and the temptations as well. But obviously, you've got to be sensible, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a great sense of freedom and it's exciting. But, you know, as I said before, you know, we're seeing that riders are crashing, you know, going into bends, they're crashing while they're braking and they're crashing while they're overtaking. And they are all to do with, you know, skill on a bike. And clearly for some people, there's a bit of a gap between the skills they've got and the ones they need to ride their bike. So, you know, we just keep repeating this message and hopefully, you know, the people that it applies to, you know, will make some changes.
And as a motorcyclist or a driver, there's no harm, is there, in having a bit of a refresher and looking at how you drive or ride? It's always worth doing every once in a while.
Yeah, and one of the things that we're promoting a lot this year is the police bike safe courses. Now, that's an investment of just one day of people's time. And mostly people find that very useful. It's a non-threatening environment. You go out with an officer, and they just point out any areas of improvement. And most people find that that's quite, you know, useful. And they find time and again that people are taking the wrong lines around bends, which kind of supports the casualty statistics that half of those crashes we mentioned happen on bends. So, you know, well worth doing. It'll cost you, you know, £10 and, you know, it might save your life.
The RoadWise website is also worth looking at as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and we've updated it this year and we've got some interactive maps of the top five high-risk routes. They're the routes that consistently motorcyclists are coming a cropper on the most. People can click on the RoadWise website and, you know, look at those routes and look at particular areas where people are having difficulties.
And the videos are particularly useful as well, aren't they, showing you the dangers on these different routes?
Yeah, and we've added a couple of new routes there. We've got the A59 and we've got the A171 as well, which are sort of in the top 10. It just points out to people this may look like quite a benign bend, but actually we've got a history of people, you know, losing control there. So have a look at the route before you go out and bear that in mind.
As you've said before as well, it's about everyone respecting each other, isn't it, on the road?
Yeah.
We all want to use it, but we just need to show a bit of respect sometimes.
Well, you know, and we're finding people, you know, sort of getting quite intolerant as the roads get busy. I mean, you know, North Yorkshire is a beautiful place to visit and look at. The roads are getting busier and busier, and so we do need to be more tolerant towards each other. And, you know, our logo, our strapline is share the road and take responsibility, and that's everyone looking out for each other.
And just finally, obviously every year you want to highlight this message every year. Does it seem to be getting through gradually to people, do you think?
It is getting through. I mean, and obviously it's not the same people that we talk to all the time, and we do know from other traffic counts that we do that we're getting more and more, you know, motorcycle journeys across the county. It's our duty really to keep reminding people about the situation.
Your county with North Yorkshire County Council.
Now, work is about to start on replacing ageing streetlights with modern lamps in Harrogate, but the project has caused some concern locally. I've been speaking to County Councillor Don McKenzie, who's Executive Member for Highways.
We are currently engaged upon replacing streetlights. We've been replacing streetlights for many, many years. But at this particular phase, we are replacing a series of old cast iron ones. And that has led, in some cases, to both residents and other organisations being a little concerned about it.
And in some way like Harrogate, whenever something which has heritage is changed, replaced, it naturally does attract attention, doesn't it?
It does. I think there are different views as to the value of the heritage of our old cast iron sites, some of which are actually inherited by us decades ago from the Leeds City Corporation. But yes, I do understand the heritage value of the cast iron lights. But of course, there are other considerations that North Yorkshire County Council has to take into account when they decide what to do about upgrading our street lighting.
Is safety the main reason for changing these lights?
Safety is one reason. I don't want to give any ammunition to the anti-health and safety brigade. It is a reason, of course it is. The old cast iron lights that we are changing, many of them are cracked and broken. They're cast iron, so they're brittle. The electrical connections are no longer fit for purpose. And in fact, the electricity companies are no longer accepting the old cast iron lights as a suitable thing to be connected up to. So, safety is an issue, but there are many other issues and equally important issues. For example, the new lighting is LED lighting, which is environmentally much more favourable than the old incandescent bulbs. It is far cheaper for the taxpayer. And the light is better. It does a better job at illuminating the streets, which is, in fact, you know, the main purpose for street lights. I know their aesthetic value can be important, but they're there to light the streets. And modern LED lighting is able to light streets much more efficiently, effectively, cheaply, in a more green fashion, and indeed the light itself can be controlled and directed, so you get much less glare going upwards and sideways into people's bedrooms. I know that is a concern for some, but it is much easier to direct downwards to illuminate the street and the footpath, which is the first purpose of any street light.
So which stage in the project are we at the moment?
We're about to start an area which has a lot of the heritage street lights, an area around the Stray and around the town centre. And we have put notices up to say that these street lights are about to be replaced. Those notices have indeed led to some of the comments I've been getting in recent days.
How long is the project likely to take to complete?
It'll complete fairly quickly. I have to say that we North Yorkshire County Council, has been negotiating this proposal for a long, long time with both Harrogate Borough Council and with Harrogate Civic Society. In fact, I did meet with a member of Harrogate Civic Society. We took an old cast iron lamp standard to an engineering workshop, and a demonstration was given as to how an old cast iron lamp standard can be converted to modern use. But we did not accept that the proposal was acceptable. It would have led, we believe, to even greater fragility of the cast iron lamp standard, and indeed there were many questions still left unanswered regarding safe electrical connections. So we have decided that we will replace the cast iron lights with modern steel ones with LED lighting. We have reached an agreement with Harrogate Borough Council that they will pay for a certain number to be embellished, to have particular embellishments added to make them look like heritage lights. And in fact, we've also agreed to let the Harrogate Civic Society have up to 50 of the cast iron lights, which they are free to adapt for use, but not on the public highway.
Your county. For more information, visit northyorks.gov.uk.
I'm finally taking the bike for a spin.
Come on, get in the car now or we'll be late.
This is what weekends are for. Open roads and no traffic.
Will you two quieten down?
He takes a corner at a remarkable 75, leaving everyone for dust.
Are we there?
And he takes another...
All the gear? No idea. The road's not a racetrack. Have fun, but stay safe. Just be aware of the risks. A message brought to you by roadwise.co.uk.
Your county is brought to you by North Yorkshire County Council, keeping you up to date with the latest from across North Yorkshire.
The County Council is going to introduce changes at its 20 household waste recycling centres from next month. It's part of the authority's need to save millions of pounds after government funding cuts. Ian Fielding is Assistant Director for Waste and Countryside Services.
We have to save about £170 million a year. We've done well. We've delivered about 116 million of that. We've still got about 57 or so to go, and so all services have to look carefully at ways that which they can reduce what they spend and save money. We've done that in terms of the household waste recycling centres and found a few things that we can do which will contribute to about £150,000 a year towards our savings target, with relatively little impact on users.
Okay, and one of the changes is new opening times. Just tell us a bit about those.
Yeah, we've got a package of measures that together will save about £150,000 a year. Included in that is a small change to the times the household waste recycling centres close at the end of the day. At the moment, they close at three different times across the year, which can be a little bit confusing. But at the moment, they close at 4 o'clock in the afternoon between November and February, 5 o'clock in the afternoon or evening in March and October. And over the summer months between April and September, they close at 7 p.m. The proposal is to close them a little bit earlier in the evenings from now on. So we've identified that very few people actually use the sites in the summer months after 5 o'clock. Less than 8% of the people using the sites during the summer months go in after 5. So if we can close the sites at 5 o'clock, we can make a significant contribution to our savings target and have relatively little impact, say, on customers. it's regrettable, but this way we can avoid having too big an impact on most people. So from the 1st of April, the opening hours will change. We're going to make it a little bit simpler for people. So from now on, between April and September, the sites will close at 5 p.m. And then between October and March, the sites will close at 4 p.m. Obviously, as I speak now, we're still in March. The sites are on the old operating hours and they're closing at 5 p.m. So that time will continue all the way now up until September. The sites will continue to open in the morning at the same times, no change there, at 8:30 every morning throughout the year. And just to remind listeners that all household waste recycling centres are closed on Wednesdays.
At the moment, people have to pay to get rid of hardcore rubble, plasterboard, but there are going to be some additional charges on top of that, aren't there?
Yes, that's right. There are. We've identified that we take about 20,000 used old vehicle tyres into the household waste recycling centres each year, which costs us just under £40,000 a year to dispose of. Now, vehicle tyres are not household waste. We don't have a legal duty to accept them, but nevertheless, we've decided to continue to take them to offer that as a service to residents. But from 1st of April, we will be charging to dispose of vehicle tyres. This is very similar to any sort of garage or vehicle replacement company. If you have your tyres replaced, you will probably pay within the bill. There's a small print. There will probably be a disposal charge for tyres, and we're just introducing a small charge in the same way to cover our costs for those things in future.
So making these changes and saving this money, that's basically keeping the centres open, where otherwise you might have to look at which ones stay, which don't.
Yeah, we've been very careful to try and protect the service as far as we possibly can and so reduce the impact on users as much as possible. This way, like you say, all sites will remain open all days of the year except Christmas Day, Boxing Day and Wednesdays, of course, as I've already mentioned. But the impact is minimal for only a few. It's regrettable for those few people that did want to or do want to use the sites after 5 o'clock in the summer. But to remind them, the sites are open 6 days a week, and I'm sure there's going to be an alternative time for them that they'll be able to find.
Your County, bringing you the latest from North Yorkshire County Council on DAB every Sunday afternoon from 1. And listen again at strayfm.com. For more information, visit northyorks.gov.uk.
Just a couple of things to let you know about. As part of Read Regional 2016, Knaresborough Library will play host to author Chris Killen on Wednesday, the 13th of April. He's written two novels, his latest being In Real Life, which the Financial Times has described as an historical novel about the internet. He'll talk about the new book, give a couple of readings, and answer questions from the audience. Tickets for the event, which starts at 6:30 p.m. for 7 p.m, are on sale for £3 from the library. For more information and to book your place, please contact Knaresborough Library on 01609 533 610 or email knaresborough.library@northyorks.gov.uk. Meanwhile, the County Council has launched its annual Community Awards to find unsung heroes. The awards recognise and celebrate voluntary work by individuals and organisations across the county. The closing date for nominations is the 31st of May. You can get more information and nomination forms at northyorks.gov.uk/community awards. Anyone who can't complete a nomination online can call 01609 780 780.
Your County is brought to you by North Yorkshire County Council, keeping you up to date with the latest from across North Yorkshire.